الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
الحمد لله الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على رسوله سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه وأزواجه وذرياته وأهل بيته ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين الحمد لله الذي هدانا لهذا وما كنا لنهتدي لولا أن هدانا الله اللهم لك الحمد كما ينبغي لجلال وجهك وعظيم سلطانك سبحانك اللهم لا نحصي ثناء عليك أنت كما أثنيت على نفسك وصلى الله تبارك وتعالى وسلم على سيدنا وسندنا وحبيبنا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمد صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وأزواجه وذرياته وأهل بيته وسلم قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم النكاح من سنتي وقال عليه الصلاة والسلام فمن رغب عن سنتي فليس مني وصدق رسول الله All praises to Allah All praises to Allah All praises to Allah who guided us to this who guided us to Islam and to Iman and to his Mubarak house on this Mubarak hour of this Mubarak day and we were not to be guided was it not that Allah had guided us O Allah, to you is praise as is commensurate with the majesty of your countenance and the greatness of your authority. O Allah, we do not limit you with any praise we can come up with ourselves. Rather, we admit that you are the only one who knows the true extent of your praiseworthiness. And may the peace and blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be upon his servant and messenger, our master Sayyiduna Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May the peace and blessings of Allah ta'ala be upon him and upon his noble companions, and upon his pure wives, and upon his Mubarak and blessed family and progeny, and upon all of those who follow all of their way until the Day of Judgment. Brothers and sisters, Nabi alayhi salatu wassalam, he came with a complete way of life, and the name of this complete way of life is Islam. Allah Ta'ala says in his book, Inna ad-deena 'indallahi al-Islam. Imam Tahawi rahimahullah tabarak wa ta'ala in his Aqidah Tahawiyah, which is an exposition of the beliefs of the Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, says that the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's a very beautiful expression near the end of the book, that the deen of Allah ta'ala in the heavens and in the earth is one deen. It's Islam, that's it. It's the same deen in the heavens, it's the same deen in the earth. No other deen exists with regards to Allah ta'ala accepting it. The name of this deen is what? Al-Islam. The word Islam, contrary to what many of our spokespeople say in the media or repeat to one another in Sunday schools and other venues, the meaning of Islam is not peace. It has the same root, salima, as peace. But the meaning of Islam, aslama yuslimu islaman, it means what? It means surrender. It means what? It means surrender. that you give up. This is literally the ishara, the sign that a person makes with their hands when they start their prayer. It's a sign of what? Surrender, of giving up. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the reason for putting this wahi down, the usuli reason for putting this wahi down, this revelation, sending it down from above the seven heavens, from above the sab'a samawat and the arsh azim and the magnificent throne, was what? It's mentioned in the first revelation that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam received. Allah ta'ala says, اقرأ بسم ربك الذي خلق خلق الإنسان من علق اقرأ وربك الأكرم الذي علم بالقلم علم الإنسان ما لم يعلم. Read in the name of your Lord who created mankind from a clot of blood. Read, and your Lord is the most noble, the most generous, the one who taught mankind by the pen, the one who taught mankind that which he did not know. علم الإنسان ما لم يعلم. لم is not a nafi for only the past. It's not a negation only for the past, for those of you who know Arabic grammar. But in this context, it means the past, the present, and the future. Wahi is that knowledge. If everybody came together from all of the universities with all of their PhDs, all of their laboratories, all of their journals through which they can share information with one another, all of this knowledge could have been exchanged, and people could have had lives not just of 60 and 70 years, 100 years, 1,000 years, 1,000,000 years. Life that never ended. If they were to collaborate, all of them together forever, they still wouldn't have understood what comes down in the wahi of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the wahi in the deen of Islam is two. One is the Qur'an, which is al-wahi, riwayatan bil-lafz. That wahi which is preserved word for word. And the second is what? The sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which is that wahi riwayatan bil-ma'na. وَمَا يَنْتِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيٌ يُوحَىٰ. This is the text of the Qur'an, that the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam doesn't speak from his own vain desire. Rather, everything he says is a wahi, that is a revelation that is revealed to him. Literally, the word wahi is used by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيٌ يُوحَىٰ. It is not but a revelation which is revealed to him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells us something about the deen, وَمَا آتَاكُمُ الرَّسُولُ فَخُذُوهُ وَمَا نَهَاكُمْ عَنْهُ فَانْتَهُ وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهُ. That which the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave you, then take it. And that which the Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam forbade you from it, stop. And fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These are direct commandments from the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if the person who wishes to gain benefit from this path must submit to that wahi. And the person who wishes to argue with that wahi, that person is not going to gain anything from this path. That person will constantly be in a state between iman and kufr until one of them wins out inside of their heart. This is something described also by Imam Tahawi in his Aqidah, as well as the other scholars, the ulama of Aqidah and of deen in general. Now, we throw the word bid'ah around a lot, to the point that we've thrown this word at one another so much, we've become sick and tired as a community of hearing it. So someone says, bid'ah, khalas, roll your eyes. That's bid'ah, brother. Right? We can turn it into a joke. A'udhu billah, do you joke about Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and His deen? The fact of the matter is that because of the lack of education about that many of us have, right? To say la adri, to say I don't know with regards to a matter, is part of a man's deen. Our Salaf, rahimahumullah, tabarak wa ta'ala, used to say la adri. They used to treat, Malik, he said that la adri junnatul alim. La adri, to say that I don't know, is a shield of the person of knowledge. He said that you should teach your students to become accustomed to saying I don't know. Even Imam Abu Hanifa, rahimahullah, tabarak wa ta'ala, it's very, very well known. The one who carries the laqab al Imam al A'zam, the greatest of Imams, he says very clearly, there are nine masail I've studied them for my entire life. I can't give the jawab, the response for what the meaning of these nine masail is. What is dahar and what is, you know, there's a number of masail that he said that about. These are our elders. These are the people who knew the deen. By the testimony of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they knew the deen better than what we know it. But because of our inability to say I don't know, we throw these things out and then a damage happens, people stop taking the deen seriously. So we have said bid'ah to those things that are just differences of opinion amongst the ulama so much that people have become sick and tired of hearing this word. But the fact of the matter is, there is something called bid'ah in the deen, and it is something reprehensible innovation. It is something Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam warned us about, and it is something that has crept into our deen. But the bid'ahat that have crept into our deen are things that nobody talks about. Why? Because many of them have turned into cultural norms. Now tell me something. What is the best time to pray your salat? Divorced from any external circumstances like traveling or extreme heat or extreme duress or anything else, right? What's the best time to pray your salat? The best time to pray the salat is what? It's the beginning, it's the first time. Is anyone wish to argue with that notion? Right? We have exceptions to rules. Every rule in the Sharia has exceptions. The exception, if someone has studied usul, you know that the exception doesn't teach you anything about the rule. The rule is what? Is that the best time to pray the salat is in the beginning time. What's the best time to, when a person dies, the best time to wash the body and to shroud the body and to bury the body? As soon as possible, right? As soon as possible. Fine, if there's some sort of something is stopping you from doing so, there's permission. If the legally you have some problems or whatever, you're not legally obliged to go and heist the morgue and then make a getaway with, you're not obliged to, but that's an exception, that's not the rule. All other things being equal, the best time to bury the body is what? Is what? Is when the body is, when the person died as soon as possible. Now there's a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in which he mentions, he says, three things, when the time for them comes, they should not be delayed. Three things when the time for them comes, they should not be delayed. One of them is what? The salat, when its time enters. The second is the person who dies, the janazah after they die. And the third thing is what? A woman, when she becomes ready for marriage, that she should be married. The fact that we automatically throw up all of these curtains in our mind, the hijab comes up in our mind, the defense mechanisms come up in our mind, this is a problem, this is a bid'ah. I'm not accusing people as individuals, you're a bid'ah, you're this and that, no. I'm just saying this is problematic, this is not in line with the idea of Islam. There may even be exceptions to this rule. You understand what I'm saying? There may be exceptions to this rule, but the exception doesn't teach you anything about the rule. The hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When a man comes to your house, when a man comes to your house and proposes marriage to your daughter, and you're pleased with his akhlaq, you're pleased with his akhlaq and his deen, then you should what? Marry your daughter to him. You should do what? Say, son, when are you going to finish your PhD in engineering? No. Son, when you have a six-figure job, come back to me. No. Son, which neighborhood in which city in some country halfway across the world do your forefathers come from? No. What did Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam say? If you're pleased with his deen, then marry your daughters to him, marry your daughter to him. Otherwise, what? There will be fasad in the earth. This is another hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that when marriage becomes easy, zina becomes difficult. When marriage becomes easy, zina becomes difficult. And when marriage becomes difficult, zina becomes easy. If somebody were to write a sharh, a commentary on this statement, right? Meaning what? What does it mean zina becomes easy? People are swiping left and swiping right. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. This is literally what the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is talking about. Now tell me something. Okay? If somebody is doing something, raising their hands one time in the salat or raising their hands several times in the salat, is this a bid'ah one way or the other? No, it's a difference of opinion. If somebody is saying Ameen out loud after their Fatiha, is this a bid'ah? Or if someone's saying it quietly, is this a bid'ah? No, it's a difference of opinion. Both opinions come from the Salaf rahimahumullah ta'ala. Both of them have directed unbroken chains of narration from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But if a direct command of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam regarding something that is so important, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said regarding marriage that it is half of your deen. It's nisf al-deen wa nisf al-akhir. Wa nisf al-akhir. Fattaqullah. That this marriage, this nikah is half of your deen. And for the other half, what? Fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If something so great, so momentous, and we so casually kick it down the road? Look, the ilm of the tariqah of the Ahl Sunnah al Jama'ah is what? The tariqah of the Ahl Sunnah al Jama'ah is that the ilm first, you get the ilm first, you get the knowledge first, and then you act upon it. We don't have this idea in our conception of deen that ignorance is bliss. Ignorance is never bliss. It's always superior to know. هَلْ يَسْتَوِي الَّذِينَ يَعْلَمُونَ وَالَّذِينَ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ Right? This is a rhetorical question. Are the people who know and don't know equal? It's not a question as in like, yeah, let's think about it. No, it's a question meaning what? Of course they're not equal. نِيَةُ الْمُؤْمِنِ خَيْرٌ مِنْ عَمَلِهِ The intention of a believer is greater than the what? Than the action itself. And the interpretation of this is what? Is that the intention can more properly be ascribed to yourself. As for what happens, that's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who does that. Obviously the intention also وَمَا تَشَاءُونَ إِلَّا إِنْ يَشَاءَ اللَّهُ But the intention resides in a locus closer to you than the actual action does. Allah ta'ala is the one who makes things happen, the ones who makes things happen and the one who makes things not happen. There's no one who can stop something from happening if he wishes it to happen, and there's nobody who can make it happen if he wishes it to stop. These things are very important. Just our conception of them is important. So if a person says, Shaykh, that's wonderful, but I'm in XYZ circumstance. Khalas, you're in XYZ circumstance. I'm not browbeating you. You didn't get married when you're 14. You're bid'ah. You're horrible. You're this, that. Everybody has their circumstance. No one of us is perfect. Some of us are better at hiding our imperfections than other people are. That's the only difference. There's no hadith of the Prophet ﷺ. The mu'min is the one who doesn't sin. The mu'min is the one who's perfect. The mu'min is the one who is ma'asum. Our aqidah is that nobody is ma'asum. Nobody is infallible after Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Khatam al-anbiya'i wal-mursaleen. But the idea is what? If you have to compromise because of your circumstances outwardly, right? Nobody's circumstance makes them compromise inside. Inside this world, this universe that's inside of everybody's heart, inside of everybody's chest, this is something in which there's no slavery, there's no apartheid. Man ki dunya mena dekha mena afrangi karaj. It can't be colonized by the British or by the French. There's no coalition of forces that can desert storm what's inside of here. In here, you're the king. Allah Ta'ala gave you this khilafah that in here you can choose whatever you want. And you will be accountable for first what's in here, afterward what's outside. And if what's inside here is clean, Yawm al-Qiyamah, whatever happens on the outside, you'll be okay. Is this a rhetorical flourish by a professional demagogic preacher who makes his money by whipping people up into a religious frenzy? Allah Ta'ala himself says in his book, يوم لا ينفع مال ولا بنون إلا من أتى الله بقلب سليم. يوم القيامة is the day that nobody will be served neither by money nor by having many sons. Nobody will be helped except for by having a clean heart, free from blemish, free from any sort of fault, any sort of defect. A heart that is in line with what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded from it. That's something that requires neither money, nor does it require any sort of external power or force. The clean heart, that's where clean actions come from. If you think that the heart is going to be confused and then from that there's going to be good and useful actions on the limbs, this is not from our tariqah, and experience shows that it's something that's not even possible. Right? Right action only comes from right understanding. Right understanding only comes from a right heart. So the first step is what? We should say, yes, this is a problem. This is a sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that our ummah has strayed from. And it's a sunnah that we should come back to. We prepare our children for what? We prepare our children for bachelor's degree, law school, medical school, pharmacy, master's degree, PhD, all of these things. Is it haram? Of course it's not haram. And could be if you choose to use it in a haram way, but it doesn't necessarily need to be. And even the wish or desire that your children should make rizq enough to live a decent and honorable life, there's nothing wrong with it. The desire to gather money, even though it's not praiseworthy, it's also not haram. So I have no objection with that. But tell me something, which thing is closer to bringing you happiness? Having a whole lot of money or having a stable life at home with your family? Having a stable life at home with your family is definitely closer to something that's going to bring you happiness, not just in this world, but in the hereafter as well. Three things a person's amal when they die cuts off except for in three. One of them is what? Having pious progeny that does good deeds after you're done. Some of us, you know, I don't want to point fingers, but some of us are actually corrupt people by the standard of the Sharia. One of our children, right, becomes a hafiz of Quran. One of our children gives sadaqah. One of our children becomes an alim of deen. One of our children becomes someone who helps somebody else. Khalas, the children who sin, their sin belongs to them. And the one child who does something good for us, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will serve his deeds to us in our grave. To the point where even if we die on fisq and fujur, the angels will treat us with honor. Why? Because of who we left behind. This is something that a common sense thinking person thinks this is like really important. This is like something that is more important than building a masjid. Some people say, oh, I'm going to build a masjid and the thawab of that masjid will come to me afterward. That's a wonderful thing. It's a wonderful idea, a wonderful thought. Let me tell you something. Having a pious child is better than building a masjid. We have unfortunately, because the materialism of the culture around us, another bid'ah which is crapped up, is that we value material things more than we value people. Is this a demagogic flourish again? No, I have dalil for this as well. It's narrated in the Sahih Athar that Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhumah, he stood in front of what? Not ICP. In front of the Kaaba. Baytullah al-Haram. And he says to the Kaaba, addresses the Kaaba, he says, how sacred and holy are you? How great are you in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And wallahi, by Allah I swear an oath, every believer is greater and more sacred in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than you are. This is the deen. You know how nowadays you watch TV, right? They will never show even the coffin of a white person on TV. I have no problem with white people. I'm not saying this to be whatever, right? I'm just saying that this is the model that we operate under. Even though it's not spoken, but there's a model of racial supremacy in the society around us, if you didn't notice. They'll never show it. TV executives have been fired for just showing the coffin. Forget about the body. They'll show the bodies of Muslims, Africans all day long. No problem. But they will never show the body of... why? Because there's hurmah, there's a sacredness in it. This is something praiseworthy, not because they discriminated against one person versus the other, but in the sense that Allah Ta'ala, وَلَقَدْ كَرَّمْنَا بَنِي آدَمْ, that we've honored Bani Adam. This is something this is a good thing in the sense that every human being has this honor, should be given this honor. This is something that our people used to have, that we used to honor people more than we honored buildings. Let me tell you something, if you want to leave behind a sadaqah jariyah, a pious child is what? A pious child is one of the best ways of doing it. If your goal is to get into Jannah, just one pious child will get you in. Imagine if you were to have 3, 4, 5. Imagine if they are to have pious progeny, etc., etc. We have people in this ummah, by the way. To this day, I've met people. 13, 14, 15, 16 generations, Hufadh of Quran. We have people like that. It's not something that happens randomly. It's a vision that's passed from one generation to the other. This is more valuable than any building. Can you imagine what the worth is of that heart that carries the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inside it? That person, the doctor, when he dies in this world, you think the angels are going to call? The angel of death is going to say, Dr. Saab, please come with me? Of course not. But the hafiz of Quran is still a hafiz in death. He's still a hafiz of Yawm al-Qiyamah. He's still a hafiz in Jannah. Do not the angels say to the person, right? Iqra kama kunta taqra fi dunya. Read like you used to read in the dunya. Keep reading and you'll keep ascending in rank, and your rank will be at the last place that your recitation stops. This is something that lives forever. We give no thought to this whatsoever. We plan for which university we want to go to. We plan for which major we want. We plan, and all of those are great. We should plan for all of these things. Planning is a sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. People think that just haphazardly going through life, this is tawakkul. This is not tawakkul. This is not tawakkul. Tawakkul is to make a plan and then to trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But what I'm trying to say is what? We plan for the تَسْتَبْدِلُونَ الْأَدْنَى بِالَّذِي هُوَ خَيْرٍ. Do you like Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam chastises Bani Israel? Do you seek to substitute the lower thing for that which is greater, for that which is better? This is something, wallahi al-azim, for your akhirah, for your dunya also, but for your akhirah, it's so important. It is so important. But we don't think about it, we don't plan for it at all. We don't even think about it. We don't even want to think about it. We don't have a talk with our son. Son, you're going to be a father one day. And Allah knows why we never have this talk with our daughters. That, my dear, the most important thing you're going to do in this world is be a mother one day. The most important thing you will do one day, inshallah, is what? Is to be a mother. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. We feel embarrassed, right? Because we're going to go in front of other people and they're going to say, oh, you're going to get your daughter married. That's a very village type outlook. Brothers, this is not a village type outlook. This is Jannah outlook. This comes down from wahi, from the revelation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, both in the book of Allah ta'ala and the sunnah of His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. One of my favorite stories of the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum. Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu was appointed as the governor of Bahrain. Bahrain was in the old days not this small island nation, but it was everything from what? From Basra until Oman. So it's all of the Ahsa and Bahrain, Qatar, what we call the Emirates nowadays, right? The eastern part of Oman. Sayyidina Abu Huraira was appointed governor over that area. And when he first arrived, one of the people who was running the affairs of state as a mushir, as a part of his privy council, he said, these people, since they live close to the Persians, they have the etiquettes of the Persians. And one of the etiquettes of the Persians is when the food is served, don't eat all of the food on your plate. Leave a little bit of it on the side, because if you eat all the food on your plate, you look like you're needy or you're hungry. It's a sign of weakness. So just, I'm giving you a tip because you're new here. Okay? Fine. He gave him a tip. Right? Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Allah ta'ala be pleased with him. What did he say? He said, أَتْرُكُ سُنَّةَ حَبِيبِي صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ لِهَؤُلَىٰ الْحُمَقَىٰ. Do you want me? It's so beautiful. That's the Sahaba, may Allah ta'ala be pleased with them. أَكَلُّ النَّاسِ تَكَلُّفًا. What did he say? He said, should I leave the sunnah of the one that I love, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, for these idiots? We should ask her, should we leave the sunnah of our Habib, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, for a people who summun bukmun wa hum la ya'qilun wa hum la ya'lamun. They're blind and deaf. They're described in the Quran as blind and deaf. They have no idea where they're going. They have no idea. Their solution, their alternative. We've seen our alternative. Where does it lead? Our forefathers, what did they achieve? And their alternative leads to swiping right and swiping left. Is this what we want to do? Is follow the path that we know what the end of it is? Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inshallah give all of us, those of us who are in a marriage right now, Allah ta'ala make islah of that marriage. Allah ta'ala make it a beautiful marriage. Allah ta'ala make us people who love one another so that Allah ta'ala will love us. May Allah ta'ala give everybody, whoever has children, may Allah ta'ala make islah of those children and make them a source of good in this world and a source of good in the hereafter. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, those of our young people who are looking to get married, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for them. Please, parents, make it easy for them. Facilitate for them. Look at this as something that their children also will be. What? Something that's in the account of your hisab for the better. In this world and the hereafter, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give all of us so much tawfiq. Wa sallallahu tabaraka wa ta'ala wa sallama ala sayyidina Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam ajma'in. Wa aqulu qawli hadha wa astaghfirullah li wa lakum wa li sa'ir al muslimin fa astaghfiruhu innahu huwa al ghafurur rahim. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة